praise right there. Come on. Come on, let's give him a praise right there. Come on. Let's sing of the goodness of God. Come on. You at home, come on. We're praising him right here in the pavilion. You go ahead and lift your hands up this morning and worship him. Because God has been that good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Church family, we are in a wonderful series called Do the Work. All of us in this room is called to do the work. You know, the work is to bring the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And we do this through faith, our faith that God's kingdom can come here on earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Amen. But James add this, faith without works is dead. In other words, James helps us to understand that the kingdom of God is not going to happen just through talk, but it's got to happen through our walk. Amen. But here's the problem. In order for the kingdom of God to come forth, it's coming forth even in the presence of evil. See, you know existence of good and evil in the presence in our world is something we've debated for years as the church. Rather, good and evil can take up the same space. But church, I want you to listen. The origin of evil can be debated, but not the existence of evil. When we see evil, we see evil in our political system. We see evil in religious systems. We see evil in our economic system. We see evil in our criminal justice system. We see evil in our education system. But Bridge City, we are called to do the work in the kingdom of God, even in the face of evil. Why? But why? Because the systems of evil will never outlast God's system of love, grace, forgiveness, and redemption. So I say to you this morning, let's do the work. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you for being the God of our salvation. God, you are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us, shape us, make us, break us to what you need us to be. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister through our minds, speak with our tongue, love with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and all guilt until God's children say amen. Be may be seated in his presence. The word comes to us this morning in Exodus chapter 14, verses 30 through 31. Here's the word of the Lord. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. For the time I have this morning, Lil, I want to preach from this topic, evil will wear itself out. Evil will wear itself out. Mary Lou, I remember as a child, my mother telling me a story of how she would get picked on when walking home from school. My mother would tell my grandmother that people are chasing her home and picking with her. And my grandmother would say these words. She'd say, baby, don't worry about it. Evil is going to wear itself out. My grandmother would call up the school and tell the principal the problem, but even after telling the principal the problem, The people kept bothering her. She would go back home to my grandmother, and my grandmother would look her in the face and say, "Baby, evil will wear itself out." But one day, my grandfather overheard that his daughter was being picked on. And unknowing by my grandmother and my mother, my grandfather orchestrated a plan. My grandfather told my cousins and some friends to do him a favor. He said, "I want you to meet Laverne at the bridge on Poplar Grove Street. And I want you to make sure she gets home safely." One day, my grandfather turned to my mother. He said, "Daughter, this is what I want you to do." He said, "I want you, when you get out of school, I want you to run to the bridge and don't stop." My mom followed those instructions. She ran to the bridge only to find out that her enemies were met with my cousins. My mom ran to the bridge and kept going forward as my cousins were met by her enemies. The next day, my mom walked home from school with no problem from the people that was messing with her. My grandmother said, "How was your day?" And she said, "No, it was fine." My grandmother said, "I told you, baby, evil will wear itself out." Grace City, in the world today, evil seems like it has the upper hand. It seems like you can't shake evil. But I come by here to tell you today that your Father has a plan, and he sees the evil. What evil does not understand is that when you and I have provision, protection, and purpose of the Father, when evil pursues you, it will wear itself out. Grace City, I come by here to give you instructions by my grandfather that he told my mother. Keep going forward. I know you see evil of violence, but keep going forward. I know you see evil of murder in our city, but keep going forward. I know you see corruption, but keep going forward. I know you see prejudice in this world, but keep going forward. I know evil is abuse of power is in our world, but keep going forward. Grace City, I give you the word, my grandmother, that I give you the word that Jeremiah gave to his people in the midst of slavery, bondage, and suffering. He looked in the eyes of his people and said, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to not to harm you, and to give you a hope in a future." Why? Because evil will wear itself out. In our text this morning, we find evil wearing itself out. We know the book of Exodus is about the children of Israel exiting the place of bondage, suffering, and slavery for over 400 years under the hands of the Egyptians. Egypt is the place you were bound. Egypt is the place of your past. Egypt is the place you wanted to give up. Egypt is the place where evil had you bound in your mind. Egypt is the place where it had you questioning whether God loves you or not. Egypt is the place where I felt dehumanized. Evil is the place where you felt abused. Egypt is the place where you felt like you had no value. Egypt is the place, though, where God delivers his people from slavery by his servant Moses. And Moses approaching Pharaoh, and he says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." The children of Israel are led out of bondage with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day. And even after they are free, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he goes back after them to bring them back into bondage. The text says that Israel found themselves in the wilderness, looking at the sea in front of them, Egypt behind them, and Great City, their past, is coming back to get them. Great City, I don't know about you, but it seems like in 2020 that our past is coming back to get us. You know, 11 o'clock Sunday morning is one of the most segregated times in America. It seems like our past is coming back to get us. Brutality of people of color seems like our past is coming back to get us. Men walking around with tiki torches and Nazi symbols, it seems like our past is coming back to get us. People burning communities which they live to fight injustice, it seems like our past is coming back to get us. The racial economic divide is wider than it's ever been. It seems like our past is coming back to get us. But verse 13, Moses says to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring today. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but the word of the Lord to you is to stand still and know that our God will bring you through. The children of Israel got stuck with Pharaoh's army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and their past is coming back to get them. Moses stretches out his rod and seas roll back, and the children of Israel ends up going on the other side of the Red Sea on dry land. But the Egyptians continues to pursue them. Moses stretches out his rod to the sea, and the water rolls back while they're in the sea. And verse 30 says, the day that the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, Israel saw them lying dead on the shore. In other words, that evil of the past that tried to bring Israel back into bondage went too far, and it wore itself out. Great City, my word to you this morning is that no matter what evil tries to pursue you, no matter how it tries to pursue you, evil will wear itself out. I want you to know that evil will wear itself out because God's plan of salvation is stronger than evil's plan of oppression. God's plan of salvation is stronger than evil's plan of oppression. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Israel has spent 400 years in slavery, but God promised he would save his people. God promised he would deliver them. The Egyptians are in pursuit of the past to evil to return, but they don't see that Israel is in the hands of God. And I know that evil is in pursuit, and it feels like evil is catching up. But I want somebody this morning to know that you are in the hand of the Lord. And when you are in the hand of the Lord, can't nobody take you out of his hand. I know that I'm right, because Isaiah says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. For I, the Lord, your God, holds you with my right hand. It is he who says, fear not, I will help you. Good God Almighty, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but Israel in the hand of the Lord, this is good news, because once you are in God's hand, no man, no demon, no evil can snatch you out of God's hand. Good God Almighty. The Apostle Paul put it this way, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels and principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. John 10 and 29, because not only is this relevant for Israel, it is relevant for you, because John 10 and 29 says, I give them eternal life, and they will never, listen to me, perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You're saved. Your salvation is secure because you are in his hand. The bottom line
is once you are in God's hand, when evil pursues you, you are protected by his hand. And evil is doing nothing, even while it's pursuing you, but wearing itself out. The scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It might get formed. It might get created. But Lord have mercy, it says it won't prosper. Grace City, God's plan is greater than evil's plan of oppression. But the second thing I see is God's hand of freedom is stronger than evil's grips of bondage. Look at God Almighty. Verse 31 says, when Israel saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against Egypt, the people feared the Lord. The army is pursuing for them to return back to the grips of bondage. But once you are free, Grace City, there is no turning back. The children of Israel simply have to move forward in their freedom. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's no going back. You simply have to move forward in your freedom. It was there that disobedient to God that bound them. But it is God's grace and love for his people, that freedom. The children of Israel are freed by their deliverer. And I come to tell you this morning that you are free by your deliverer. John says it this way, who the Son sets free, good God Almighty, is free indeed. Because God's hands of freedom is greater than the hand of oppression. How do I know? Because Jesus came to earth and said his job description was this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free. Paul writes it this way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of bondage. God's plan of salvation is stronger than evil's plan of oppression. God's plan, hand of freedom, is stronger than evil's grips of bondage. But the last thing I say to you this morning, I'm going to bid you a goodbye. God's hand for justice is greater than evil's mind for injustice. Here it is in the text. Finally, the children of Israel are on the other side of the Red Sea. They experienced the freedom and justice they've been waiting for 400 years. But evil of injustice goes too far. And they come and pursue and try to bring injustice back. Israel is going forward. But after God wipes out the injustice, there's no returning back to injustice. What the evil of injustice is doing is simply weighing itself out. I come to tell somebody this, but there is no going back to injustice. All evil is doing is weighing itself out. You are saved. You are free. There was no turning back. Now I know on the other side, you need to understand, well, what's my word? What's my job here now? Because now that you have been moved out of injustice, now you are agent for justice. So your job description this morning is do justice, show mercy, walk humbly before your God. The Proverbs writer put it this way, when justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but it's a terror to the evildoer. Why God, justice is greater than the minds of injustice. Amos put it this way, but let justice roll down like a water of righteousness. Let an ever-flowing stream. Why? Because God's justice is greater than the mind of injustice. Well, I got to get out of here, y'all. I got one more. Why justice, y'all? Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fathers. Plead the case for the widow. Why? Because God's justice is greater than the mind of injustice. I'm closing this way. I'm not making this up. In Genesis chapter 3, God existed. But while God existed, we still had the presence of an enemy. The enemy pursued man. The enemy did whatever he does to bring enmity between God and humanity. This started in the Garden of Eden. Evil pursuing humanity. But God pursued us even in the face of evil. In our wrong, he asked the question, where are you, Adam? Where are you? God never stopped pursuing us even in the face of evil. Evil started in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Eden. But evil wore itself out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Evil hung Jesus on the cross. Evil put nails in his hand. Evil put nails in his feet. Evil put thorns on his head. Evil whipped him all night long. Evil convicted this innocent man for nothing. Evil could not stop God's goodness from pursuing us, because on the third day morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. And here's the good news, Robin. The same power that conquered the grave lives in you and me. God's plan of salvation is stronger than evil's plan of oppression. God's hands of freedom is stronger than evil grips of bondage. And God's heart for justice is greater than evil's mind of injustice. Let's do the work, church. Let's do the work. Evil, you're doing nothing but wear